The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What would make you run for office, particularly mayor of your town? Think about the town in which you live and what you might change about it or not. But what could happen to make you say, enough, I've got to have some skin in the game. I've got to be part of the fight. I've got to run for office. Well, up in Taylor's Falls, Minnesota, a small town, but nonetheless, a town that draws a lot of people, beautiful, idyllic place. But something happened to Brandon Weiberg up there, and it was during COVID. That shouldn't come as a shock. And it had to do with the whole reaction, plus him being compelled to get a shot that made him finally say, I got to run for office. And now he is Mayor Brandon Weiberg of Taylor's Falls, and people seem to really like him up there. Will there be more in his future? He is our guest next.
Welcome to the Michelle Tafoya podcast.
You know, after a long day, no one wants to spend an hour in the kitchen making dinner. Well, how about quick and easy barbecue? No, I'm not talking about takeout. I'm talking juicy steaks, succulent chicken or fish, and healthy grilled veggies cooked on your own Solaire infrared gas grill. Solaire grills are the hot, fast grills that heat up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even in the dead of winter. True. And that heat locks in juices and flavor and grills your food faster. It's a veteran-owned company, multi-generational family business, and each Solaire grill is made in the USA out of quality commercial-grade stainless steel. It will be the last grill you ever need to buy. Visit besthotgrill.com for their free guide, how to choose the right infrared grill. For apartment balconies to backyard entertainment areas, that's besthotgrill.com. With a hot, fast Solaire infrared gas grill, you'll want to grill every single day. Get your free guide at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com. Mayor Brandon Weiberg, thank you so much for joining us. It's good to meet you. I've heard this phrase a lot throughout my life, that all politics is local. And now I'm coming to see that more and more. And for you, obviously, it's very local. You're the mayor of the town that you live in. But your decision to run, had you thought about politics at any other point before you decided you were going to run for mayor?
Michelle, thank you. It's an honor. I didn't. I always kind of from afar watched. But things got really interesting the last couple of years, so I figured I needed to help.
We need help from every corner of the world. We need help. So I'm glad that you stepped forward. My understanding is that this stemmed from COVID, the vaccine mandates, and a vaccine injury that you suffered. Take us back to the COVID time and what you were doing. You're a father of three. As I understand it, working from home, what was the first big impetus that made you think something's wrong here?
You know, Michelle, when I first started watching all this, I was like every other family, keep the kids home. This will go by quick. We're just going to enjoy our time together. We didn't have to go anywhere. And then stories just kept on changing. And even at a local level here, I didn't like and I've never really thought much of anybody telling me what I should do. They should just give me the tools and I can make the best decision possible for me and my family. And about, I would say 3-4 months into the pandemic, I just said, you know what, enough of this. I can go 2.5 miles across the river and I get a totally different story, into Wisconsin. And so I started digging in and listening, meeting a lot of people. And I said, you know, it's time to run. I got to do something to open that freedom back up and allow people to make their own decisions.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
You were working for a company that mandated the vaccine. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What was your feeling when you heard that that was going to be something that necessitated that you had to do to stay employed with these people?
Yeah, it was weird. I've never been told I had to do something before. I work for a wonderful company. I still am employed with them. Wonderful family. I think everybody at that time, and I still believe this for the company that I work for, at least they were doing what they were told that was best for the interest of everybody. Mm-hmm. So, it was strange sitting there. I prolonged it, as long as I could, Michelle. I was waiting and waiting and waiting. And in my mind, I thought, well, this will go away. And it didn't. And I had about 2 weeks left until the mandate went into place. And unfortunately, I couldn't get an exemption at the time. So I chose the Johnson & Johnson shot that was at the Minneapolis Convention Center. And I said, one and done. I'm not doing this anymore. This is strange.
Yeah, well, we'll remind people that the Johnson and the J&J shot, you only needed one. You didn't need a booster, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Please continue.
No, yeah. It was... I finally got my chance because I'm on the website for the state of Minnesota, seeing what clinic had what. And I said, I wouldn't do it until I get the one and done. And so finally I went downtown Minneapolis to the convention center and they had everybody lined up. It was very surreal. It was very odd. And we single file lined into seats where they gave us the vaccine and we walked back out. And that really got me going into the political spectrum, because I was thinking to myself, when is the last time that we all lined up and went into a place and told that this is what's best for us? We're repeating history again, and we don't need to do this. And it's not okay.
What history came to mind when you had that thought?
Yeah, I felt like we were marching into the concentration camps. We were doing Hitler all over again. It was very scary. People were hugging and crying and saying that they were saved. Others were crying because they had no choice. I mean, we thought we had no choice. So we were going to lose our jobs and being, a sole provider for three wonderful kids and a wonderful wife that does more work than I do. It was like, no, we're not going to do this again.
Yeah. So shortly after getting the vaccine, getting the shot, you started to experience some symptoms. What happened?
Yeah, most definitely. I came home and about four hours in, I just got really tired. My legs started aching. My arms started aching. I just sat down in our recliner in the living room and just laid there with a blanket on. I was cold. And then I developed a rash. And the aches were about 3 days. I couldn't move my legs hardly anywhere. I felt very strange. I had a fever for about an hour. So I knew something went in my body. I didn't know what they gave me, right? I knew I got something. And it just kind of swelled up from there. My joints started hurting. I got arthritic problems. It got more tolerable, but it never went away. And so I started doing some research, and I've met some fantastic people on the chiropractic side and the natural holistic side, and as well as the medical practice side, that have all kind of joined in, and I've developed my own team to get through it. But just playing a simple catch with my son, even to this day, or both my sons were throwing the football, my shoulder, my collarbone starts hurting after about 15 minutes.
And that's the side on which you got the injection.
That's correct. Yeah. Most of every reaction I've had has been on just the right side.
What have the medical people that you've dealt with told you?
Interesting enough, about 6 weeks after I got my shot, I developed a small lump on my shoulder. And my current doctor at the time in clinic, they just said, let's just keep an eye on it. It doesn't look like it's attached to anything. It's not turning in colors. So come back in 6 weeks. So I came back in 6 weeks. It got a little bigger. I could tell it was getting bigger. It never hurt, but it was never there before. And I wanted answers. And when I got there, it was the same routine again. And then they asked if I had had a vaccine booster yet. And I'm like, well, no. And they're asked why. And I told them I went to the CVC clinic and had my antibodies tested 6 weeks after I had the J&J shot. And the lady came back and said to me that I have nothing. I've never even had COVID. And I said, I need an explanation before I'm going to let you give me another shot of something that isn't even showing up. Yeah. And they had reasons, and they said that's not the right antibody test. There's other tests I could do. So I questioned and asked for those tests. And it came down to it, basically, my lump isn't hurting yet. I'm not getting sick from it. We're not going to do much on that. We're just going to continue monitoring. And if I want to do any further T-cell antibody tests, I need to get the booster or they're not going to help me. And so I said, well, I'm not doing that. And I left and I found a clinic that really listens to me, and they got it tested right away.
I want to make sure I understand that. They were going to your previous clinic was going to require you to get a booster before they did any further testing.
Yeah. My doctor, she said that if you get a booster, I'll do the antibody test for you. And I'm like, I don't want the booster anymore. It was all about getting the booster before I could move forward and figuring out what this lump was. I don't know. That was strange.
You're not the only story out there. And I know you've discovered that. You found a number of people who have been injured by the vaccine, one of the vaccines. But again, it's so amazing to me that all of this prompted you to say, we need leadership. We need something. We need people who really understand freedom, I guess. So how did you come to your family and say, I'm running for mayor?
Well, I started going to the meetings and just watching how things were done. And I asked some questions, not a lot. I just wanted to be the silent watch and listen and see. And it was 15 to 20 minute meetings. Everybody was just going with the flow. There were no decisions, no discussions on why they were doing what they were doing. And I was like, this doesn't seem right. So I went back home and I said something to my wife, and she said, it's about time. I've been telling you to get involved. And she's really been the driving force. My wife, Jolene, has been worried about me before I even went and got the shot. Our kids aren't vaccinated. She didn't go and get those, the COVID vaccines. And we've kept them away from it. And she begged me not to, but I needed to do it in my mind to keep my job.
Right.
And it ended up not being that way. The mandates were dropped even at my, employer. But she said, it's about time. You need to step up. You need to start asking these questions like I have been. And so I put my name in the hat, and the rest is history.
Well, what are you finding you can change now that you're in the mayor's seat?
Sure. You know, being a mayor of a very small town north of the Minneapolis, St. Paul area, one would think it's not a power. And people think it's all about power and you're the mayor. And I said, I'm Brandon, that's how I'm going to go by. But what I want to do is empower everybody. It doesn't matter what side you're on. We need to drop the sides and we need to come together. And so my main goal, and has always been, is to listen to everybody. I have my own opinions, and so do a lot of people that come and talk, but I want to open that floor up again. And I want to, in essence, force them to have these difficult discussions. We passed a health resolution 3 months into my first term, basically a health freedom resolution, Michelle. And we were saying that we're not going to force a business to close. We're not going to force a business to not close. We're going to let the business leaders in our area make their own decisions because, again, it's their livelihood. And if they want to force customers to come in with a mask on, fine. You have to listen to them. It's their job. If you want to force, or you want to say you don't have to wear a mask, fine. That's fine. And for some weird reason, it always gets brought back to masks and against the vaccines and stuff like that. And it had never been that. It's about freedom to make a choice and a freedom to speak your mind. And that's what we need to continue doing.
It was sorely missing that freedom to speak your mind during the height of COVID. I know just if you posted a different idea on Facebook, if you said, look at this doctor over here in Nebraska thinks that caffeine helps, you would be lambasted on Facebook. You would, whatever contrary opinion or even just a differing opinion you presented, people were cruel. It was a little weird. And so, you know, this idea of being free to speak, free to think differently, seemed to just go out the window. And that was terrifying. I wonder how your whole view of politics, not just local, but, you know, state. In Minnesota, it seems to me you've got the Twin Cities and then you've got outstate, and they're very different places. In the United States, you've got blue states and red states and purple states, and they're all very different. How has your view of the political landscape been impacted by your decision to get in it?
I would say the longer I've been in it, it's only coming on 2 years, you really start to pay attention to why this town or why this county is the way it is. And then I can drive 30 minutes and I'm the enemy. And it's not the people. It's the ones that we keep on electing that shun us for having a different, you know, thought, and they turn families against each other. And that, especially, I guess, in Minnesota, if you're in that 7-county metro area, it's a totally different world. But yet they come out of the 7 counties and they enjoy camping and they enjoy fishing, and we all get along there. So why can't we get along in the Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area? We should be able to. And I think that we need to make a difference, and starting at local. And we need to go down to the Capitol and be very loud and get to know our lawmakers, both sides, and just say it's okay to have differences. You can do whatever you want to do, but just don't force it on us. And let's have a good conversation. And I think doing this, I think it will spread. It's addictive. I have a lot of people that disagree with me all the time, and I love hearing it. I because I don't want to have a hierarchy here like it had been. It's about everybody having a voice, and, you know, we talk about it. So I think it's spreading. I really do. We're in a tougher state. That's for sure. But eventually things will come around. I'm hopeful.
You are hopeful. See, I love to find out what people are hopeful about, and that makes me hopeful. Someone like you makes me hopeful. I don't care how small Taylor's Falls is. Your story is refreshing. It's inspiring. And I hope it emboldens some people. You get the sense that people are feeling more free to talk. Is that what you're telling me?
I do. I think more freedom to talk, but then also accepting of different opinions. Mm-hmm. You know, when we first had this discussion in March 2 years ago, it was like heat on both sides. And it was interesting to see, because it wasn't even directed towards our council members or myself. They talked to each other across the aisles. And I'm like, that's what we need. We need people to say, hey, that hurt me. And this is why it hurt me. And then somebody needs to say, well, it didn't hurt me, but I understand why it hurt you. And that's the addicting part of it. You know, I mean, I hope it spreads.
I hope you're right. I hope it does too. Brandon, Mayor Weiberg, I know you want to be called Brandon. What's next? Do you think that there is another step for you in politics?
You know, I've been asked that a lot. And my family always comes first. I'll do whatever I can to serve the public. If it means going to work a few months out of the year down in St. Paul, absolutely. Don't know if I'm ready to tackle Washington yet. We got to get some of those people out of there first. Maybe I'll be like caffeine, and I'll spread and more of us will come out. Because I think that there's tons of us, like you and me, Michelle, that really can make a difference. And we got to put, just because somebody's been doing it 20 years or 25 years, we got to change it.
So, or 50 years.
I think, you know, if the opportunity presented it, I would be flattered to be down in St. Paul and help down there some way.
You're just kind of a common sense, normal guy. And I don't know that anyone could find you an enemy. So I'm going to be keeping my eye on you, Mayor Weiberg, Brandon, whatever you want to be called.
I like it.
We'll see what happens next. But I appreciate you stepping up. I always say be brave and do good. And you're doing both. And you're setting an example for your three young kids. And it sounds like you've got a strong team there at home. So all the best to you. Thanks so much for joining us and telling us your story.
Well, thank you, Michelle. And thanks for giving everybody a voice and a platform.
You bet. We'll see you next time, everyone.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.